Good morning, church. This morning, we've invited Larry Ranahan to come and speak with us, share with us about, it's a partnership with our mission in Jamaica. Been for years. Larry was one of the founders. As we came almost 40 years ago and bought the first property, and Stones Hill was a part of that. You know, it was a $10,000 property, and everybody, you know, contributed their share.
You kicked in one third.
Yep, one third. So since then, you know, it's always been a partnership. And as Larry comes and speaks, you know, I'm so grateful for Cynthia Ann and what they've done and the leadership and the direction and the help that they've given, you know. And part of this comes out from today is in November I got up here and said that during a storm, we lost the roof of the church / school that we use, and took up an offering, you know, a couple Sundays, sent it to them. You'll get to see some of what was done with it. And so that you can tell the help that we've been able to give. And so that's really what this is all about, you know, is really to 40 years is a long time to be involved with something, you know, and you always kind of seem to have ebb and flows at that. And I guess as me sitting on the mission board, I'd like to reconnect our church a little more closely to the mission in Jamaica. You know, yeah, we send our money every month, and we have sent one work team or at least the youth down, I guess I should say. Sometimes with youth, there's just a small amount of work that goes on in a week's time, but it's an experience for them, and that's good too. But, you know, that's my hope, you know, that we can just more or less have a closer tie than we've had, you know, in the past. So before Larry comes and speaks, I went down in August, happened to be very privileged with three gentlemen, Larry and two other gentlemen, David Cruiser, who was sitting down here in the second row, and Les Moore, was there, you know, great people, had a great time, met lots of people, shook lots of hands, exchanged, you know, greetings with them. Lots of names that when I go back, I'll recognize the face, but I won't have a clue what the name is that goes with it. But that's a little bit me anyway. It takes me about Christmas time, at least on the school bus, before I remember the kids' names, except the ones I have problems with. And I guess as long as we're going here, you know, talked about the partnership with Cynthia Ann. Our mission in Jamaica is truly a partnership with the people of Jamaica. You know, we don't grab missionaries out of our culture to send down there. You know, this is all enabling the Jamaicans to do things that they couldn't do without us. Like when this roof came off, if you've ever been there, Joe Saggers and I were talking a couple months ago, and he says there are all still as many houses that are started and never finished. And yes, you see houses all over, you know. They do as they have the money. And with us not stepping forward and Cynthia Ann not stepping forward, I don't know how long it would have been that the church and the school would have been without a roof, because they do not have the money to do those things. So I want to say thank you for each and every one of you that gave, and thank you for this congregation. You know, because without that, you know, it just wouldn't have happened. It'd have been probably years for them to put a roof back on that building. So thank you very much for stepping forward and doing that. And I guess other than that, I'm just going to share with you a few things that I noticed in August when I went. First thing is I noticed as I met Pastor Fitzroy that when we were going somewhere And you'd say, well, how far is it? And he'd say, not far. You know, and my not far and his not far did not meet. You know, his not far means 25 or 30 minutes at least. And when you're 6'3" with your luggage in the vehicle and cramped in a back seat, 30 minutes sometimes is a long ways on those roads. Also, with the conditions of the roads that were there, first thing you notice, as soon as you leave the tourist area, flew into Montego Bay, as soon as you leave the tourist area, we have potholes in our roads. Potholes doesn't cover it in Jamaica. Craters would come closer to it. You know, 6-8 inches deep, sometimes a foot deep. David made mention that, you know, that someone started a house, dug the basement, and just left it right in the middle of the road. And it sometimes feels that way. But I also, when we got to the church, I flew in on Saturday. We spent Sunday with them in the church service. Got to meet Pastor Williams and his family. All three girls involved in the church, you know, from tech to one plays drums, the other one sings up front. Son-in-law is active and involved. In fact, he spoke that morning. Just a great family. Pastor Williams, full of energy, full of ideas, lots of things he'd like to do. But what I got out of the congregation and spending time with them, again, goes back to what I said, is, you know, they're true Christ followers trying to make their corner of the world better. Yeah. And we come alongside of them in this partnership, help them with roofs, help them feed the kids, because, you know, as the kids come to school, you know, provide meals best that you can, sometimes with a limited budget, what you can do. But they're truly a group of Christ followers from pastor on down, you know, trying to make a difference in the community in which they're in. Which is when we sit here on Sunday mornings and we go out into our world, same thing. You know, yeah. Do we get it all right and is it all perfect? No, it's not. But it's not going to be this side of heaven. So, and I guess I just, while I was down there and sit and would think in the evenings when you had some downtime, very busy 4 days, like I said, it flew by, lots of names, lots of people, lots of faces. And I'd had a couple other opportunities to go to Jamaica before, or at least one, Larry. And I turned it down because there's always something else to do. We all have our lists. We all have our priorities. And so this time I just made up my mind, I'm going for whatever reason. And we worked through the things that needed to be done. I get there, but the Lord speaks to me. Really, before I went, but as most of the time with me, the Lord's got to get me to a quiet place so that I actually hear His voice. Sometimes I'm so busy going from thing to thing to thing that I don't always hear Him. I'll say my prayer and ask Him for what I want and how I think it ought to be done. And I move on. enough of that. I'll just get into what he spoke to me while I was there. And I'll start out here with 2 Timothy in the first chapter, 9th verse. It says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." I just want to back up to the first part of that verse. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. With me, I want to rush past his own purpose and I want to get to the grace, because I know that I need that. And it doesn't matter whether it's today, tomorrow, what day it is. Without grace, you know, I'm not going to make it to heaven. And it's just that simple. But I rush past because, first of all, in that verse, saved us to call us to a holy life, but because of his own purpose. You know, and as men, a lot of times, you know, we think, you know, and you do, you have to provide for your families. There's lots of things that go on into that. And I think sometimes I wrap up my purpose is that he saved me for is for nothing else than to be an example wherever I'm at of his love and his grace. And to go back to wrap this thought up, I'll just go back to Paul's own words here in 1 Timothy. And it's the first chapter, verse 15 and 16. It says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." Just sums it up for all of us. When I actually thought about it, and when you think about your purpose in life, it's not about all the other things. It's what Paul says, so that through me, get this right, that I might display his immense patience as an example that those would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, that just wherever we're at, whatever we do, you know, for the non-Christian world, for the non-followers, for the non-believers, very few of them are going to come in here and sit in the church and hear the word of God and believe in his name, believe that he died for us. What they're going to see is our actions every day. And the great thing about all this is it's not necessarily what they see in us. It's that hopefully that we live in a way that they see Christ instead of seeing us. And that's what Paul's talking about. And that's what I saw in that church in Jamaica. That they were living their days like all of us are supposed to. You know, and that the people that live around them, that work around them, that whatever contact they have with them, that they see Christ. Yeah. And I that's just I don't know what I expected out of that community and out of that the little group of believers there, because it's not a big church. But I was very impressed by the evidence of Christ at work in their lives. And we're contributors to that. We enable them to have outreach that they couldn't have otherwise. And I just wanted to say this morning that I appreciate that. I appreciate this church. And you guys have done a great thing. You know, it's great when you're in a partnership that it works well. And that's what this has done. And so that was just my observation of being there 4 days. I'll turn this over to Pastor Larry now, and he'll.
Thank you. Good morning. I really appreciate being here again. Pastor Joey said you might want to know a little bit about me, because he talked about transformation. And I will tell you that I was one of those kids caught in the system. I grew up, I lived in 18 different homes. I went to 5 elementaries, 2 junior highs, and 2 high schools. Not one of those homes was Christian. Not one out of 18. So, you know, I grew up with very negative feelings about church and people who did foolish things like give up a beautiful day to come in and listen to some idiot talk to them, or, give their money to somebody else who's not needing, you know, all these kinds of things. And very honestly, my best friend, the man who was my best man at my wedding, I would say, let's go to the ball game Friday night. And he would always say, I'll go to the ball game with you Friday night if you'll go to church with me on Sunday. And for 3 years, I said, no way. No. And so one year, one night, Saturday night, I came home and I told my wife, I said, now we're going to put the best dress. We have one daughter. We're going to put the best dress we've got on her. And we're going to go into that church and we're going to knock his socks off, because he's going to be so shocked, he'll probably faint. It was a 2-car concrete block garage with a potbelly stove and an outhouse. And when I walked into that building, my life changed. You can say it's corny. I don't care what you say. I know what happened to me. I know I just walked in and something said, you're supposed to be here. And it just took over my life. I couldn't believe it. You know, months later, I was baptized and my whole life changed. I couldn't learn enough. I couldn't get enough info. I started sending off to Johnson Bible College for correspondence courses, and finally ended up, and I walked in one day and I told my wife, I believe I'm being called by the Lord to go into the ministry. That knocked her socks off. She had grown up in a very small Methodist church. She had gone to church. We got married. She never went back. Well, you know people like that. Had no roots. But that was the Fisher's Methodist Church back in those days was a last stop for people. They all wore big buns on their head, long dresses and no jewelry and, you know, the whole thing. And she, I don't want to wear long dresses. That was what we felt going into the ministry. But I'm so pleased and proud of my wife and the change that's made in her life and how Jesus has changed her as well as changing me. In 1994, we were doing a Good Friday service and I met this man named Jack Terry. And Pastor Jack was just an emotional, wonderful person who had a contact with the Lord like I'd never known before. And we became partners. We taught together, we worked together, and we are still to this day partners. Jack called me in 1995 and said, let's have breakfast. And I said, great. And he said, Larry, he said, God spoke to me last night. I said, what did he say? He said, he told me I'm going to Russia on a mission. And I said, Jack, I'm happy for you. And he said, no, you don't understand. God said, you're going with me. And I said, Jack, that was gas. That wasn't God. God knows me. He knows I never wanted to go to Russia. I do not now want to go to Russia. I never will want to go to Russia. And he said, okay, just tell your congregation what I said. And it's going to cost us $4,000. Now, I knew my congregation didn't want to get rid of me that bad. He said, if it's not in 2 weeks, it was gas. It wasn't God. I told my congregation about like I am you now, blew it off, no big deal. You know, this is what happened last week. 2 weeks later, my trustee or my treasurer walked right down the aisle and said, it's in. I said, what's in? He said, the 4,000. I know it can't be. Did I ever understand Jonah? Oh, boy, did I understand. I don't want to go to Russia in a mission. I don't even want to save those people. You know, it's just. But I made a commitment. If it came in, I'd go. And I went. And it changed my life. And I couldn't wait to go back the next year. And we were gone for a month. And when you're gone there, you can't call anybody. You can't write anybody. They don't even know where you are. My family, my church didn't even know where I was. Knew somewhere in Russia. I was in Siberia. They didn't know. Third time we were there, Jack wakes me up and he said, God just spoke to me. And I said, what did he say? He said, we're supposed to start a mission. We don't know anything about starting a mission. Where? He said, he didn't tell me. We get back home. And it's about 2 or 3 months later. I don't remember exactly. Jack gets a call from a man named Jack Rowland. Says, I want to talk to you about a need in Jamaica. The very same week, a woman named Ruth Van Horn called me and said, I want to talk to your church about the mission in Jamaica. Duh. I mean, even I can figure that out. Jack gets it. I get it. They come. They talk to us. They tell us about this need up in the mountains where there's no school and no church and these kids are just being neglected. Yes, thank you, Lord. We contacted a young man who was the pastor right here at that time. And the three of us got together. And we decided this is what we're supposed to do. God is telling us we must start this mission. You already told it was $10,000 to buy the first property. You went one third. My congregation went one third. Jack's went one third. From that time on, we have built over $500,000 worth of properties on that island. And for a long time, this congregation was involved with the beginning, from the very beginning. You set a work team down to build the very first facility we had. And then you put together and built a property in Geyserville Mews. You did that. It was your baby. You birthed it. There was a time when we lost connection. It was our fault. We didn't keep in contact with you. Things went down a little bit. The pastor there had a heart attack, and then he had a stroke. The congregation went down. School went on. And then his son, who went to school for electronics, and was in the electronics business. His son suddenly felt a call. And the call was to go in the ministry. And he kept his electronics business, but he went to seminary. Because he already been out of college education. He went to seminary and he felt called to go back and revise what you had started. The church that had gone way down because of the father's heart attack and stroke. He felt a need to revive it. And bring it back. And then we reconnected. And you helped him. And you're going to see some of the results of that today. I want to share with you just a few words from the Lord. You know, there's a TV series a long time ago. And then a lot of movies called Mission Impossible. I want to talk about mission possible. Because that's what's the most important thing in the world. Understanding what is a mission and who are missionaries. That's the most important concept that we have to have as Christians. And I believe that everything you need to know about being a missionary is in Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Just four verses. Tells you everything you need to know about being a missionary. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." If I was doing a seminary class on evangelism, I would use this as the foundation. This is what Jesus told us that we should do. Who am I looking at? I'm looking at a group of missionaries. For I believe that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you accept the opportunity and responsibility of being a missionary. Well, where is the mission field? Which one am I to go to? At Cynthia Ann, and you mentioned Cynthia Ann, I'm the minister of Cynthia Ann Christian Church in Fishers. At Cynthia Ann, over every door or exit, we have a sign, "We depart to serve." Where's the mission field? Well, part of it's right in here, but most of it is right outside these walls. And what you do in here is important, but what you do outside these walls is vital. That's the most important thing of all. Because each and every one of you, when you accept Jesus, you accept the opportunity and responsibility of being a missionary. So if I'm doing missionary training, what does it mean? Well, first of all, missions requires going, either in body or in spirit. You see, the first thing it says is, the disciples went to the mountain where they had been told. It was a going. Now, not all of us can go physically, but we can go spiritually. We can go prayerfully. That's where we can go. But everybody has to go. We can't just sit in the pew and be satisfied. We have to go spiritually, mentally, physically. We have to go. One of those, we have to go. Sometimes all three. Serving a mission requires worship. It says when they arrived at the mountain, they worshiped him. As missionaries, you have to worship. You know, when I was young, I owned a service station. So I use illustrations from that, you know, often. But, you know, a car has to go in and be serviced. A car has to go in and be refueled. I don't know about the rest of you. I come to church every Sunday to be refueled. Now, since I'm the preacher, my refueling is usually the music. But I come to be energized. I come to be refueled because I know I got to go out there. And out there, I'm not always going to get the energy I get in here. And then next, serving a mission requires that we overcome our doubts. Can you believe this? It says that the disciples went to the mountain. They worshiped him, but some doubted. I don't know about you, but I love that line because there are times when I doubt, can I get this done? Is this really what you want, Lord? Is this really what you expect me to do? Do you ever doubt? Then you're in good company. But the point is, the doubting is not the big deal. It's the overcoming. You have to overcome those doubts. And serving the mission requires that we know the authority of Jesus. It says, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And serving a mission requires that we identify certain goals. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And serving as a missionary requires that you teach people to obey. It says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And serving as a missionary requires cooperation. You have to cooperate. You have to collaborate. You have to be with others. And isn't this the greatest thing of all? And surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. What a promise. And you are missionaries. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. Because when you leave these walls, Dana said it, when you leave these walls, it's how people perceive you. It's can people see the Christ that lives within you. Your mission may be in your own home. It may be your family. It may be your neighbors next door. It may be the place where you work. I don't know where your mission field is, but you have one. Each and every one of you have a mission field to work in. Now, it just so happens that we developed a mission in Jamaica. And not everybody's able to go, but everybody's able to pray for it, think about it. You know, we at Cynthia Ann, we know that some of those things, that's our baby. We created it. But you created it too. It's also your baby. And so I'm excited and ecstatic, and I'm going to ask you, you've heard enough from me for a moment. I want you to hear and see exactly what you have accomplished in Jamaica. I've got just a 12-minute video I want to show you, and then I want to share a few words when it's done. But can we have the video, please?
Hi, I'm Reverend Fitzroy Williams. Let me welcome you to Disciples Covenant Ministries. I'm going to take you through our journey from start until where we are. But this is where we are now. So I want you to come with me as we journey back in time. Please, come with me. The past, the present, and the future. A presentation from Disciples Covenant Ministries, Jamaica, prepared and presented by Reverend Fitzroy Williams. In the beginning, the year was 2016, April, the month. You are looking at a current view of Inside the Sanctuary today, 2023. Worship in the Sanctuary, November 2023. This picture was taken at our recent pastor and family appreciation service. This is an outside picture from the Sanctuary 2006 when we just got there. And as you can see, there is no retaining wall. Here we have a picture of the classroom then. Classroom 1, 2, and 3 outside, and also a picture of the kitchen. We had a groundbreaking ceremony 2018 for the building project, which we are going to be discussing later in the presentation. Here are other pictures of the side and entrance of the property in 2016. This is an old front and side view as well of the property. That's the right side, which we will discuss later, and a front view. Here you can see where the water tanks are, a clear view of the entrance gate, the side and the rear of the property, and all these were taken in 2016. These are additional 2016 photos. Those are the benches that we used to use back, and you can see construction has begun then for the retaining wall. These are children who are from the Sunday school assisting with the project here to clean up and to make room for the retaining wall to be built. We are painting the floor. As per usual, we always paint the floor when we're going to have special services. It was not tiled then. This is a picture that was taken in 2016 after the paintwork was done for a special service. And it's a full view from the front to the back. These are the old bathroom areas that we had in 2016 after we have done some level of renovation. These are pictures of the construction begun in 2020, where we built the office and the now control room. And I must indicate to you that the work was done by, you know, mostly women, as there are more women in our church than men. And these are other construction photos being taken. This is me doing the piping work, the plumbing work for the new bathrooms. This was 2022. We had a visitation during our construction by Pastor Larry and David, who visited us. And you can see Pastor Larry walking through the bamboo that is erected. We had a great fellowship that day, and thank God for his continued support to this ministry. The removal of the old church roof. Yes, this was done in 2023, and as you can see photos of that. Those are the bamboos that we use to hold the concrete when it is poured. And they are very strong, I tell you. Extremely strong bamboos. Now, this is another side view of the roof being lifted, removed, and construction is underway. We had a lot of rain, and we had to... Oh, this was a service that was held in the room while the roof was off. Right underneath the bamboo, we had service in the bamboo. These are photos of Pastor Elder Dana and David, and you know, other senior pastor and missionary, my wife Sophia, and we had a wonderful time. Elder Dana here visiting from Stonehill Christian Church, Community Church, that is, sorry, Stonehill Community Church. David here also, and they have a delegates that came along with Pastor Larry. These are other photos of construction that has taken place. You can see me sitting there with senior pastor and missionary, and I'm holding the work here. This is our first sign erected at the entrance of the community, you know, to indicate that the church is there, and one is being planned for the school as well. This photo is showing the premix pouring of the concrete for the decking of the roof. After much hard work, this is 2023, this is what the sanctuary looks like. This is a picture of the old kitchen, that is what it looks like then. This is a picture of the new kitchen that is as a serving counter and fully furnished. Worshiping in the center in the sanctuary 2018. That's a full shot from the front to the back. In 2019, we did some work, and you can see we have an elevated space there for the control area. This is another shot that was taken at our worship service Youth Week in 2019. This is another full shot taken in 2019 from the front to the back. You can see the overhead space that has been created for the control area. Forward to 2023, this is a full shot from the front to the back of worshiping in the sanctuary. This is a full shot from the back to the front of the sanctuary, 2023. And this other shot is a shot that is taken from the front to the back of the sanctuary, and this was taken in 2023 after we did the roofing repairs. Here's the first erected studio that we had in 2019. That is what it looks like. Very hot up there because we're pretty close to the zinc, the roof. It was hot during service. This is a closer shot of our first erected studio. Very hot up there. It was fiery hot up there. This is now our current control area. It's air conditioned, and it has all equipment there for broadcasting and for services as well. We also have an office for counseling. Our church is used for counseling and for admin for the school. About our school, school is doing well. We are number one in our area. We continue to impact many communities, and our curricular activities are very great. This is a whole classroom, one of the whole classrooms that we had back in 2016, 2017, thereabout. And forward to 2023, we recently, in last year, opened the classroom. And this is a new classroom. 2022, we opened a new classroom. No, it's 2023, we opened a new classroom, I'm sorry. And these are continued photos of the classroom, which is retrofitted with a computer station where our children are taught computer lessons as well. So this is our newest and first ever exclusive classroom being built. Back in 2018, we won first and second places in spelling bee competition among 126 schools in our area. We also won first place for the best operating standard among schools in the same, among the same numbers, 126 schools in the area. And we carry out a major upgrade in our school by changing our uniform, among many other infrastructural upgrades. And this is what our students look like today, beautiful in their royal colors. We now have modern bathroom facilities, one for the pastors, one for male and one for female, and they are pretty renovated and have everything for usage. We give God thanks for these. Our children are also introduced to the use of computer, and when they leave, they are well-rounded, and we thank God for this opportunity as well. The church continues to meet with its leaders on a monthly basis, you know, just to plan the entire mission as we go month by month. We also meet like this in this settings for time of, you know, meditation. We also have our regular Bible study prayer meeting and Sunday services, and the ministry continues to grow, making an impact on children. And we give God thanks for that. The ministry continues to grow also through training of our members on a monthly basis. Training is done. This is a photo taken in 2020 during COVID period. We had training. The ministry continued to grow also spiritually, numerically. This photo was taken in August 2021, and that was also another training. We operate an online radio ministry, a radio and television, in the morning and on Friday afternoon. Now, this is a current view of the sanctuary taken July 2023. Forward to July 2023. This one is taken November 2023. And this is an overview, a front overview of our sanctuary. It was done by our drone. Thank you, God, for the person who did it for us. Dr. Roosevelt Etheridge, we give God thanks for him, and through him we are able to highlight specific areas of our communities and to show you what the community looks like that we serve. And so we are showing different angles of the church location within the community that we serve, and we'll also be extending this to further spaces within the community. It is not a highly dense populated community, but certainly we have a number of persons there, and it is an hilly terrain that we serve in, very high hilly terrain, and we thank God for allowing us to be able to serve in this capacity. We serve also the community by giving food and clothes items and shoes, and this is the current view, front view, 2023 to date of this presentation. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your prayers and for your partnership and for buying into our vision. We pray that God will continue to bless and keep you as you continue to support us. This present is a short presentation that was done, but we hope it has blessed your heart. God bless you.
That's your minister. I told you that he originally started out as a techie, and we're blessed for that. What he didn't share with you is that TV and radio program he has is every morning from 6 to 8, 5 days a week, Friday afternoon. I watch sometimes, I can't watch it all the time, but I watch sometimes, and it's amazing to me when you're doing, I watch on Facebook and you'll see the little comments out there from Africa, from England, from the United States, from Jamaica. He is watched all over the world. And that's what you're doing. You know, it's amazing. You are missionaries helping a mission who is a missionary to others. You did the bulk of building that roof. We helped a little bit, but you did the bulk of it. And did you see the strength of it? Did you see those big concrete beams that go across it now? When I was there just before Brother Dana and we were there, I was there during a hurricane, and we had buckets everywhere. That old roof was just leaking like a sieve. And so the fact that it was destroyed wasn't a big surprise to me. But you replaced it. You did that. Now, let me tell you a little bit more. Could we go ahead and flip that? Yes. If you'll go one more page for me. First of all, if you may have noticed that I'm sorry, can we go back? That's my fault. I know how much you can see it, but I hate to correct anybody, but it's only been since 96. Not been quite 40 years. I just looked that old. But anyway, it was founded in 1996 by Pastor Jack Terry of Lamong Church, Larry Renhead, Cynthia Ann, and the Christian family here at Stones Hill. And every place I go, this is the opening. So I let everybody know you were a founding partner from the very beginning. Okay, now if we could go on to the next one, please. And this is Reverend Fitzroy and his work. And he and the people of the congregation did everything except the pouring of the concrete. That was poured, but they did all of the work, all the masonry work. And he is a worker. And he's very talented. He not only is the techie genius, he was broadcasting all over the world before we at Cynthia Ann were even doing our service locally. We started during COVID, but he was doing it even before COVID. It was reaching Africa, and the only time he's ever been out of the country is he did go to Africa on mission, but picked up a lot of support there of watching him. But this is the work that was done. Can I have one more, please? You know, it just to look and see the quality of the work that he does. It's just amazing. And I said here so much by so few, and that's the truth. And no more leaks in the roof and no more water buckets. We don't have to worry about that anymore. One more, please. Now I'm going to, you never come without a plea. I've been telling you what you've accomplished, but there's always something else in the future, you know. He lives 2 hours away. Every morning at 4 o'clock, he leaves his house, drives to the church, does his radio program, his television program. Sometimes he goes back home. Sometimes he stays in the community. Occasionally, he still gets some part-time tech work, which helps support his fuel costs. His fuel costs are $600 a month. A month. To drive that distance back and forth. And you know, if you want to know how bad it was, just ask Dana sometime. The roads are just unbelievable. Many times they're so narrow you can't pass anybody. So when you come up on somebody, you've got to back up to the nearest place we can get over to the edge where you feel like you're going to fall forever and let the other vehicle go by you. Those are the roads to get there. The dream, you're going to see in a moment, when he fixed the roof, he also put a nice stairway up to the roof. Our dream is that we build an apartment on that roof where they can move in there and save $600 fuel bill a month. That's our dream. Next one, please. This is the control room. And I don't know if you understood, but that first control room, he was doing it on just this little temporary thing above the worship center. And you had to climb up a ladder to get there. You built the control room. You took up a collection and you set it down there. And that whole fascia, that whole new front end, that's all the new control room and the office. You did that. Every bit of it. One more, please. Now, and this was going to shock you, because we not only got the new carport, but he's got the beautiful welcome sign up there. And then this is the stairway going up to nothing. But there's a stairway that can go up to an apartment that can move him into that apartment and save that 4 hours a day. I talked to him yesterday. I talked to him often. And Dana can tell you, he considers me an adopted father. And I talked to him and I said, I know you can continue to do it now. But 20 years from now, your body is going to, it is a horrible thing to drive those roads 4 hours a day. Not only is it terrible on the vehicle, it's terrible on the human body. And to get him located there instead of 2 hours away, that's my prayer. That's my dream. And just to make, and he used the money that you and I set down there to fix the stairway just in case we can build an apartment up there. I think we have one more. Yes. The pictures on the left show you a little bit what it's like to walk in the area. This happens to be to another one of our churches. This is our Windsor church. But the reason I put this one in here was I wanted you to see every day we provide the children with a meal. Now, when we're really broke, and that's most of the time, they get rice and beans or rice and peas. But we have a program that we call Adopt-A-Child. And in Adopt-A-Child, a person or a couple of families or a Sunday school group or whatever, when they adopt a child, it's $300 a year to adopt a child. And when you adopt that child, I guarantee you that every single dime you give will go to enhancing the meals that the children have. We have a budget, and our budget is only $150 a month right now, and we can't feed the kids on that. And so with the Adopt-A-Child funds, if they come in, that money all goes to buy a little more meat to put in there and a little variety. And ironically, the kids celebrate when they get chicken foot soup. And to get real chicken in their meal is a wonderful day. So that's our goal. You know, those are the two things that we have and we're praying for this year. We're going to somehow build an apartment on that roof, and we're going to get a little more food in the children. So I will tell you that Dana has pictures of maybe 15 of the kids. There are 34 children in that school right now. 34. There are a principal, two teachers, a cook, a custodian, and a teacher aide. And that's who's there every day working with the children. Did you understand the fact that that school, your school, was the number one school in administration out of 126 schools? I didn't hear anybody go, yeah! I didn't get a single amen. What is, you know, that's your school. The school that Cynthia, we're not anywhere near that high. But your school is. You know, that's you. And it's exciting. So I just wanted you to see exactly, you know, what you're doing, what's happening. And I want to really tell you how thankful I am for you allowing me to come. I appreciate Pastor Joy allowing this time for me. I appreciate very much Dana coming down and seeing for himself. And thank you for allowing me this time with you.
So thank you, Larry. And again, just like Larry said, just to reiterate that is it's your giving. It's your faithfulness. It's given 34 kids a chance to go to school, to do things, and for community to hear about Christ. And as you saw those drone shots, you saw what most of the houses look like that are around the church. You know, lots of the unfinished, lots of everything else. So just thank you. So let's bow our heads and we'll dismiss with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just we come to you this morning and thank you and praise you for who you are, you know, for our salvation, for your love for us, for your love for our world. And we just pray that you would go with us this week and help it to be a good week for us. You know, help us to be examples of your love and your grace. We just ask that you would bless this week. And we ask this in your name. Amen. You are dismissed. Yeah, and if you have any questions, David here and Larry, be out in the foyer and just stop and Larry will talk to you as long as you want to stay.